Jesus came, glory to his name. Oh, what a friend is he. He so freely gave his own life to save from bonds of sin set free. I've got that old time religion in my heart, away down inside. I've got a new kind of feeling in my heart to joys abide. Nobody knows what it means to me. Nobody knows but my Lord and me.
I've got that old
time religion in my heart, away down inside. Kind and true. He has changed my life from all sin and strife. He'll do the same for you.
I've got that
old-time religion in my heart, away down inside. I've got a new kind of feeling in my heart, true joys abide. Nobody knows what it means to me. Nobody knows but my Lord and me.
I've got that
old-time religion in my heart, away down inside. Won't you now humbly to him bow? Just let the Lord come in. You'll find perfect peace. Joy will never cease. You shall a life crown win. I've got that old-time religion in my heart.
Hallelujah.
Away down inside. I've got a new kind of feeling in my heart, true joys abide. Nobody knows what it means to me. Nobody knows but my Lord and me.
I've got that
old-time religion in my heart, away down inside. Won't you now humbly to him bow? Just let the Lord come in. You'll find perfect peace. Joy will never cease. You shall a life crown win. I've got that old-time religion in my heart, away down inside. I've got a new kind of feeling in my heart, true joys abide. Nobody knows what it means to me. Nobody knows but my Lord and me.
I've got that
old-time religion in my heart, away down inside.
I've got that old the word of the Lord this morning. I have a message on my heart. I don't come to this pulpit if I can help it until I know what the message is that God has for us. I really don't. I came to church last night. It was a six something, and I didn't have a message. And I was disturbed with me. And I came here where my seat is and just sat down. And I cannot tell you how instant the Holy Ghost spoke to me. How instant, and gave me the message. And I start squalling. You say, preachers, do men squall? Yeah. Yeah, they do sometimes. I'm one of them. I'm a squaller. I love to get in the presence of God, and he just breaks up the fallow ground of my heart. He just turns me wrong side out, wrong side right, I should say, and just moves mightily on my heart. I love it. Does anybody else love that? How many of you love to weep before the Lord? There is the sweetest feeling, Sister Phoebe, when you weep before the Lord. When your heart just broken and you know it's to Him. You're not just weeping. You're weeping before the Lord. Well, that was happened. That happened last night and I loved it. And so we go to the text, the book of 1 Peter chapter 2, and we shall begin reading with verse 9. And I'm going to preach on what it means to be a Christian. What it means to be a Christian. Repeat those words with Brother Chambers if you would. What it means to be a Christian. Do you know? I don't think much of the world understands that. I don't think much of the world even knows what you're talking about when you get down to the nitty gritty of being born again. When you really get down to where the rubber meets the road, where it all starts, and you really talk about being a Christian, there is a loss of that concept today. Religion has taken precedence. And so an experience with Christ is missing woefully across the church world. Let's try to remedy that this morning, would you? Let's try to remedy that the best that God may help us. All right. The book of 1 Peter, chapter 2, verse 9. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, an holy nation, a peculiar people. Can I read those words again? I'm going to deal this morning on what it means to be a Christian. Let me read those words again. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of Him that hath called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. If ever you can find a scripture in the Bible that identifies a Christian better than that scripture, then you must read it to me. Because that's an overwhelming statement. That you may show forth the praises of Him that hath called you out of darkness into the marvelous light. What does it mean to be a Christian? Oh, I'll tell you. That verse says it beautifully, beautifully. I love the description here of a Christian. I'm going to spend a little time this morning giving you a list of words in the Bible that identifies Christians. Names that they are called. Descriptions that they are given. Understandings of what it means. And that verse is just the highlight of the others. Verse 10. While which in time past were not a people. You didn't used to be His people. You didn't used to be identified as His people. But are now the people of God. Which had not obtained mercy. But now have obtained mercy. Which had not obtained mercy in the past. But now in the present have obtained mercy. Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lust, which war against the soul. Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims. Now, you see, he goes from his description of us in his view, in our relationship with him. And now he comes down to our appearance in the world and how the world feels about us. He feels those first things about us: royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people. But now the world, and this is where we live at the present, We are strangers and pilgrims. That's how the world sees us. That's how we've got to understand ourselves in the worldly sense. Strangers and pilgrims, abstain, he said, from fleshly lust, which war against the soul. Having your conversations honest. Having your conversations honest among the unsaved, the Gentiles, whereby they speak against you as evildoers. They may be by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. Submitting yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be kings as supreme or governors. I'll stop there. What a picture. What a picture of a child of God in a world as strangers and pilgrims. Isn't that beautiful? We are strangers and pilgrims in the world is sense. But we have a relationship with the Creator. We are not members of this world in per se. We are members of that world. We're just still living here. We're still walking the course of earthly existence. But this is not where we really belong. We're just here temporary. We're just here for a short span. Then we're going to take our trip beyond this old world, where we're kings and priests and peculiar and a holy nation and a special people, a royal priesthood. How about those words? Royal priesthood. Praise the Lord. Father, your servant is dependent on you this morning. This message is on my heart. I am grateful that I am a Christian. I am overly excited that I am a Christian. I am thrilled that thou hast chosen me out of this world to be a part of your family. But I'm no different from anybody else. For you will choose anyone that will make themselves available, that will hear your call, surrender to your will. You will make them just as special as anybody in this congregation this morning. In Jesus' name, I pray, and you may be seated. Now I'm preaching on what it means to be a Christian. What it means to be a Christian. Now, one thing that got a hold of me as I studied, sought the mind of God, was the multitude of names in the Bible that identifies a Christian. Such a group of names, and I want to share them with you. Don't write them down, because I'm going to have them written for you. Make a list of them. I'm going to have it for you Wednesday night, and I'll put it in the bulletin next Sunday. But I want you to hear the names that Christians are called in the Bible. Now, before I do it, I want you to get your brain in gear. I want you to think with me real strongly. And I want you to notice that of this great group of names, not a one of them is something you can accomplish by yourself. Not a one of them is something that you can have or be just by religion. I'm going to tell you, the names that you are called in the Bible beautifully separate the difference between religion and experience. Between having religion and having an experience with the Lord. And you will see that every name that identifies a Christian is a name. I guess you might call it an adjective. I'm not really sure the English side of it, but I can tell you it's a descriptive name, and it's a name that identifies you in a very special manner. So listen a minute. Let me just take a moment and give you some names. I wrote them down because I knew I couldn't remember them. Number one, child of God. Child of God. If you say anything to Ken Harris about faith, about the Lord, he always says, I'm a child of God. He says it in his own vernacular. You know, I'm a child of God. I'm not repeating it well, but That's a wonderful title. That's a title given to people who are Christians. Child of God. Think about that. You say, Brother Chambers, is that that important? You better believe it is to me. It is grandly important. I'm a child of God. I'm a child of God. Somebody who's a child of God, raise your hand. I'm a child of God. I'm not just a kid of Harvey Chambers and Martha Elizabeth Chambers, his dear wife. She was a Dixie. A Dixie. Yeah, I think that's right. Boy, I'm about to forget that. I don't want my family to hear that. Listen, I want to tell you, I'm a child of God. I'm a child of God. That's a wonderful title. Next is born again. Born again. A description of a Christian in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. If you're not born again, you're not a Christian. He says you must be born again. We'll get to that in a minute. We'll go to that scripture. What a title for a Christian. I love that title. I love that title, born again. Then I like this one, a new creature. Oh, I like this one, a new creature. A wonderful title, a marvelous title, a new creature, made over. You can't do that to yourself. You can't make yourself over. You can't make yourself a new person. You can't make yourself a brand new creature. That's creative power. Creative power. Only God can make a new creature out of you. Then I like this one. Sanctified. Christians are called the sanctified. The sanctified. You know what that means? That means you've been purged on the inside. You've been purged. He has made a new creature. But beyond that, he's purged you of that old man. Of that old power. Of the old Adamic nature. I like that. Don't you? A new creature. Sanctified. I like that. And then another one is circumcised of the heart. Circumcised of the heart. Again, pretty much the same as sanctification. But it means he's circumcised you within the heart. He's cut out that which has no place. That which is a hindrance to you. That which does damage to you. So circumcised in heart. And then I really like this one. I really like this one. Purchased. You are the purchased. You've been bought, friend. You've been bought, friend. You don't belong to yourself. You've been bought and paid for. That's what purchase means. It means bought and paid for. Somebody had to pay a ransom for you. Somebody had to go to the prison house and buy you out from behind those bars. Oh, you say, Brother Chambers, I wasn't in prison. No, not to the government, but you was in prison to yourself. You was in prison to the world. You was in prison to the flesh. You was in prison, maybe even to demon spirits. But the Lord had purchased you. You like that title? Hey, you know, I'm telling you, you begin to think. If you would take these words this week, and I'm a long ways from through, but if you'd take them this week, and you would spend time with each one of them, I may just preach a sermon on each one of them one of these days. Hallelujah. And how much time I got left. But they all are sermons in context. Purchase. I've been bought with a price. You're not looking at a man who belongs to a slave owner. You're not looking at a man who belongs to the government. You're not looking at a man who belongs to a denomination. You're not looking at a man who belongs to the world. I've been purchased. I'm on my way to a different city, another location, another geography. Hallelujah, because I've been purchased. If you've been purchased, raise your hand up and say hallelujah. Then I like the word Church of God. That's not a denomination now. That's been taken by a denomination. We was part of it. I'm not criticizing them. I'm not doing that kind of thing here this morning. But Church of God means called out. Called out. You've been selected. You've been called out. And it goes even above called out. It means set in authority. You know what? We got a church full of people today all over the world that are so captive to the devil, and they're so captive to the world. They're so captive to false spirits and deceiving spirits. They're captive to fleshly lust and habits of the flesh. They're captive to all of these things. But when he says church of God, he means you're called out and set in authority, and you don't belong to nothing but him any longer. Called out. Set in authority. I love that title. And then here's one I really like. Disciple of Christ. Disciple of Christ. You are a disciple. What is a disciple? He's a learner. You say, Brother Chambers, I already know it all. You just think you do, friend. You're lying to yourself when you think you know it all. You're lying to yourself when you think you already got it all under control. You're a disciple. That means you're a learner. That means you never quit learning. You never quit growing. You never quit maturing. You never quit getting closer and closer to the King. I've been saved 65 years. Only Brother Buck can beat me in those years. But I'm telling you something. I'm learning more today about the things of God than I learned anywhere back through those years. Hallelujah. He never quits teaching a learner. He never quits teaching a disciple. He never quits teaching somebody who don't think they know everything. If you think you know everything, you're pitiful. You're pitiful. Amen. Don't mean to be hard, just trying to be plain. A disciple of Christ. Hey, I like this one. The beloved of the Lord. Listen to that, Marlon. The beloved of the Lord. Now, these are titles that the Bible puts on Christians. These are descriptive words that are put on Christians. These are how he describes us. These words are how he feels about us. These words are what he thinks of us. Brother Derek, these words describe us on a level that this world don't even understand. They don't understand this. But when you understand what a Christian really is, friend, you got to understand it is the highest level of accomplishment in this world. The kings don't even compare to us. Let's say the king of some country sits in a royal palace, and he has the hand on the wealth of the country. And in most cases, they squander it for their own selfish cause and their selfish purpose. And the kings of the world are usually politicians who simply strive to have more and more power. And we are kings, but we're not kings of ourselves. Are we not kings to ourselves? We're kings under the royal king. Hallelujah. So we are a royal people, a royal priesthood. Hallelujah. And so we are the beloved of the Lord. He loves you. He loves you so intimately. You say, Brother Chambers, I've never felt his love. Well, get off of your high seat of self and get down in an altar somewhere and lay yourself on the altar before him. And you just say, Lord, Brother Chambers tells me I am the loved of the Lord, and I haven't been feeling that. And I'm going to stay here, Lord, and wait before you until I feel that love come sweeping down over my soul. Hallelujah. I'm here to tell you, I felt that love sweep down over me last night when he spoke to my heart to preach this sermon. I felt the joy, the blessedness that Joe Chambers is not just a little preacher here in Charlotte, North Carolina. I'm a man on my way to the sky. Hallelujah. I'm a man on my way to a celestial city. Hallelujah. I'm a king's son. I got some royal blood coursing down through my veins. Not just red, it's royal. Not just red, it's royal. I belong to the King of Kings. And you know what? I feel it. I feel it right now. I feel right now that I'm beloved of the Lord. Would you let yourself feel that for a minute? How many of you know you're saved? You know you're born again. You know you've been washed in the blood. Let me see your hand. Get it up high. You know that you've been saved, that you've been born again. Well, if you're born again, You're beloved of the Lord. Hallelujah. And right now, he's looking toward you with an aspiration of delight and joy. He's thinking of you as someone who belongs to him. He's desiring to show mercy. He's desiring to show grace. He's desiring to literally pour out his goodness upon you. Jesus said it plain, the devil comes to kill and to steal and to destroy. But I am come that you might have life. And have it more abundantly. Do you understand that most Christians do not have abundant life? You just look around, talk to them. They don't have abundant life because they've never come to understand what they really are. You're a child of the King. You're a royal priesthood. You're a holy nation. You're a royal people. You're special to God if you're saved in the blood of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. I've got to go on. And then washed in the blood. Do you see that everything I'm saying are things you can't do for yourself? Have you noticed that I haven't used a title? I haven't used a description that you can accomplish in your own flesh? Have you noticed that you can join a dozen churches? You can be baptized until the bullfrogs call you brother. Are you hearing me? You can be baptized until the bullfrogs call you brother. You can shake hands until your elbow scrunches. But if you don't get born again and come to know him, you don't know what it means, hallelujah, to understand washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. Washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. Then the title, saved. You say, that's so simple. Why are you making a big to-do out of that, Reverend? I'm making a big to-do out of it because it's important. Are you saved? Are you saved? That means the opposite of lost. That means the opposite of bound by shackles. Saved. And then the next word is a saint. Wow, you say, Brother Chambers, how many you got? Or several more? Follower of Christ. I like that one. Set apart. I like that one. Pure heart. Boy, do I like that one. Royal priesthood. Peculiar people. A holy nation. Now there's more. That's the group I had. Now I want you to go with me to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And I want us to read just a moment. Just a moment. And I want us to see what Jesus said about this Christian faith that God has given us. What Jesus said about this Christian faith that God has given us. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. I'm sorry. I'm supposed to be in St. John chapter 3. Forgive me this morning. St. John chapter 3 verse 1. St. John chapter 3 verse 1. Listen carefully now. You got to hear this. Jesus is dealing with Nicodemus. You know, if you have a study about Nicodemus, he was a rich man. Did you know when Jesus was crucified, Nicodemus bought 100 pounds of myrrh and aloes to anoint his body with for burial? I didn't know that till this week. I was studying it and reading about Nicodemus. And I got over there and it talked about Joseph of Arimathea. He furnished the tomb to bear Jesus in. But here came Nicodemus. And he brought 100 pounds of myrrh and aloes. And they took wrappings, just cloth wrappings, probably, 6 inches wide, I don't know. And from the foot to the head, they wrapped his body. And they put that 100 pounds of myrrh and aloes into the wrapping of Jesus' dead body. Nicodemus, 100 pounds. I'm telling y'all, I wish I had the time to run the reference and know how much 100 pounds of marrow and a loaves would cost. But in that generation, I promise you, it was a big sum of money. And he brought it to anoint the body of Jesus. Well, here he is when he first came to Christ. The Bible says there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, notice, here's this rich man. I mean, his clothing was of the high caste. His appearance was of a very upstanding leader of the Jews. I mean, he comes in his pomp and in his glory, and he comes to Jesus. And he says this nice thing to him. And Jesus looks at him. Nicodemus, except you be born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. Isn't that beautiful? Jesus didn't play games with this rich man. Jesus didn't try to butter him up. You know, it's so easy for us to try to butter up somebody because they've got money. I hear often of somebody coming into the church on Sunday morning, and everybody knows he's from the upper class, and he's a rich man, and he represents something of great value. And so they kind of gear everything down. You know, they try to make it more adaptable to how that man may think. That's not what God wants us to do, and that's not what Jesus did. He looked at Nicodemus and said, you must be born again. You got to be born again. And Nicodemus just shook back. All he knows how to say, man, I've been born one time. How am I going to get back in mama's womb to be born again? Jesus said, that's not what I'm talking about. You got to be born of the water and of the Spirit. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'll tell you something. When you get born again by the blood of Jesus Christ, you're going to be a brand new creature. You're going to be a totally different person. You'll never be the same again. You'll never be like you used to be. You are totally transformed. Woo! Somebody raise a hand and shout with me. You got to be born again. Jesus said, you've got to be born again. Oh, he says, how can I do that? He says, by the water and by the Spirit. The water is the Word. The water is the Word. And the Holy Ghost is that great third member of the triune Godhead. And you take that water and you give it to the work of the Holy Ghost. And you lay your little self on God's altar and say, God, I can't be a Christian like Brother Chambers is talking about. I can't become a peculiar person. I can't become a pure heart. I can't become a circumcised life. I can't become somebody that God loves. I've been so away from God. He says, come, and I'll change you, and I'll make a new creature out of you, and I'll make you a different person, and you can be born again. You can't even study the words born again without knowing it means born again. Say it with me, will you? Born again. Say it out loud. What does he mean? Made a new person. Oh, Brother Marlon, I would not have wanted to be in your pastor before you got saved. You'd have been a tassel to handle, wouldn't you? Huh? How many of you would have been just the same as him? I would have been. I want you to know I was a desperate little kid. Oh, God. Oh. You said, Brother Chambers, you weren't as bad as I was. I'm not sure of that. I was certainly bad enough that I needed to be born again. I needed to be born again. Somebody said, I want to be born again. Somebody say it out loud. I want to be born again. If you're a visitor here this morning and you've got religion, but you've never been born again, I'm inviting you to come to Christ and have these new titles applied to your life. Child of God, peculiar, special, hallelujah, loves of God. Oh, hallelujah. I'm glad I'm a Christian. Woo, hallelujah. What a God we serve. What a God we serve. Now go with me, please, to 2 Corinthians. I know where I'm going this time, okay? 2 Corinthians, chapter 5, verse 7. I'm sorry, verse 17. Chapter 5, verse 17. I want you to listen. Now, I'm talking about what does it mean to be a Christian? Would everybody repeat those words? What does it mean to be a Christian? What does it mean? Every word I've given you is a right description of God's people. It is a pure example of what God wants you to be. But it's not just what God wants you to be. It's what God wants to make out of you. See, Christianity is what God does in you, not what you do for God. Somebody help me understand that now. Christianity is not what you do for God. It's what God does in you. He makes the difference. He changes you. You see, in the Bible, a name was always important. You call people what they was. Their name represented what they were. And so these titles in the Bible is a depiction, a picture of what we are, of who we are. Woo! Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. What a picture. Let's go to verse 17. 2 Corinthians 5 says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new, and all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself. Now you got to look at those scriptures. I'm trying to show you this morning that the worst thing in our generation is religion. Religion has become a joke. Religion has become nothing but a word that people use so they don't have to call themselves sinners. Religion is just a word people use to identify themselves with the church. To try to make themselves feel like I've got good fire insurance. I'm not going to hell. I'm religious. So religion has become a joke. And this whole story is a story of how transformed God wants to make your life. How he wants to come in and make you a child of God. Every one of these titles are beautiful to me. Every one of them. He wants to make you something that you've never been. He wants to make you something that you cannot make yourself. He wants to do something in you that you can try all your life and you'll never accomplish. Everybody you know can try their best to change you, and nobody can change you until God changes you. And he says that you're a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And all things are of God, who has reconciled you to himself. God. Now let me try to show you. I don't want you to miss this. Here is God. In all of his majesty and his beauty. He's a God of excellent greatness. He's a God of sovereign fullness. He's a God that rules the universe. He's the great Jehovah God. And let's say he's standing here and here you are and you're coming to him. God, I want to be what you want me to be. And he invites you. And then the Bible says he reconciles you to himself. He looks at you. He sees all the mess about you. He sees the things wrong in your life. He sees your sins. He knows your fornication. He knows you're lying. He knows you're cheating. He knows you're stealing. But he looks at you and you say, I surrender to you. I come in the name of Jesus. I come by the blood. I come because I want to be changed. And he reaches into your life and he takes out everything that's contrary and he reconciles you to himself. He actually brings you up into his bosom. He actually brings you into his embrace. He actually brings you into the joy of his fellowship. He actually reaches inside of you and makes you acceptable to his holiness. He reaches inside of you to make you pure enough that he can make you one of his children. He reaches inside of you and cleans out all the sins, all the dark things, all the ugly stuff, and he reconciles you to himself. What does it mean to be a Christian? It means you've been reconciled to God. Let's say, I need a big book. Let's use this songbook. Let's say this is a book of your life. And everything you are is recorded. Nothing you've ever done is not written in this book. Nothing you've ever done is not written in this book. It has all your record. And you come to Christ. And you got this huge record of sins. You got this huge record of dark deeds. You've lied and cheated and cussed and swore. You've told dirty jokes. You've used every habit the devil's got. And you've lived unclean. And you lived unholy. And every bit of it is written. Brother Chambers, are you telling me that as an unsaved person, God's got a record of me from the time I was a sinner? From the time I became accountable for my sins, he's got a record of me and everything I've said and done. Yes, I am telling you that. And when you stand before God, if you don't do something about it, you're going to answer to every bit of it. You're going to answer to every bit of that. That whole book, he's going to throw the book at you. You've heard that. You've heard that in the courthouse. The judge threw the book at him. Well, he's going to throw the book at you. But there's an answer. There's a man named Jesus. He went to a cross named Calvary. And he went there because he wanted to pay for your sins. He wanted to offer you a chance to be reconciled. He wanted to make preparation for you to come to God. He wanted to somehow clean up that old dirty record of your life. And so here it is. There's the record. Here God stands. And here you come and you say, Lord, I repent of my sins. He has an eraser that's bigger than the side of this building. And he erases everything on your record. And so suddenly, you've got a record that's pure and clean. Hallelujah. Well, hallelujah. Somebody shout hallelujah. He wants to wipe your record. He wants to save you from the book being thrown at you. I don't know. You're such a sweet guy. I think maybe you've always been sweet. But I guarantee you was a sinner one day. I bet you was a pretty bad sinner. Most real great Christians were terrible sinners. The worst sinners become the best Christians, the Bible says. Because they've been forgiven so much. They love so much. That's me. Oh, I've been forgiven so much. I've been forgiven so much. How many of you in the building, you've been forgiven so much? Raise your hand, you've been forgiven so much. Hallelujah, here I stand this morning, 82, 81 years old. I'm soon going to face the judge. Hallelujah. And my record is absolutely spotless. You say, you think you're something? No, I think he's something. Did you get that? No, I don't think I'm something. I think he's something. I think he paid the price for my sins. Oh, Sister Stephanie, he paid the price for my sins. He washed them all away. And that's what happened when I was reconciled to God. Hallelujah. He wiped my record clean. I'll never use that term before. He'll throw the book at you. But that's pretty good, isn't it? If you don't get right with God, you're going to get the book thrown at you. And it's your own book too. He's not going to throw my book at you. He's going to throw your book at you. Unless you come to Christ. And he washes your sins away. I can't wait to preach this to Rodney Victoria. I want to preach this to him so bad I don't know what to do. And you're agreeing with me, aren't you? Wave your hand if you agree. We're going to reach Rodney. You say, Brother Chambers, this couple's never been here before. I know, but I can tell they're sweethearts. He's just as kind and sweet. My gracious, he's a big old teddy bear. And I can't wait till that teddy bear is walking for Jesus. Hallelujah. You know what? It's beautiful when you see somebody whose sins are covered. No, whose sins have been taken away and they born again. Saved by the blood. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, I know I'm preaching over time, but go with me quickly to my text. That's 2 Peter. I'm sorry, it was 1 Peter, wasn't it? 1 Peter. Chapter 2 and verse 9. But ye are a chosen generation. How many know you're saved? All right, raise your right hand. Say, I'm a chosen generation. Can you say that? Brother Steve, baby, with two T's, you are a chosen generation. But I'm telling you, God's chose you. He wants you to be totally His, all the way, utterly poured out to Him. A chosen generation. Listen to me. You're not just a chosen generation. I like these words. I think these are the most beautiful in the Bible. You're a chosen generation. You're a royal priesthood. Brother Chambers, a royal priesthood? Yes. You can walk right into the throne room of heaven, where Jesus is seated at the Father's right hand. And nobody can get in there but priest. Nobody can get in there but priest. Did you hear me? I said nobody can get in that royal room but priest. But because I'm saved by the blood, I'm a royal priest. Hallelujah. And wherever the Father sits, there is Jesus sitting at His right hand. And I can walk in there as a royal priest and make my petitions known to God. I don't have to go by some priest out here in a Catholic church. I don't have to go by, you know, they say you can pray to Mary and she'll talk to Jesus for you. I don't need you, Mary. I can talk to Jesus for myself. Hallelujah. How many of you can talk to Jesus for yourself? Raise up your hand high. Hallelujah. You're a royal priesthood. Hallelujah. You're a holy nation. You're peculiar. You say, I know. They tell me I'm peculiar. Be proud of it. Be proud of it. A royal nation of priests. I know I'm already preaching over time, but you got to hear this story. How many of you have ever studied the Bible enough to know that Apostle Paul had the greatest teacher that was available in his generation? How many of you know his name? Let me hear it. Gamaliel. I spelled it right this morning, and I didn't know I was going to do it. Gamaliel. I think that's right. Gamaliel. He was the greatest teacher there. He was one great teacher. I mean, he was held high. He was a great, noted Jewish man. Could I tell you what happened to him? And this is according to history. He became a Christian. He came to know Jesus. He lived during the period of Christ. And the Jews, and this is something I just learned, the Jews stripped the whole history of that period of Jerusalem, and the Jews, they stripped out his name. And they put the teacher before Gamaliel, and they put his son who was after Gamaliel, but they removed the name of Gamaliel. And the perspective that I've been reading is that he became a Christian, and the Jews eliminated him from their history because he had become a Christian. And I immediately thought, that sounds sensible. We don't know it, but we know one thing. They eliminated him from their history. And he, remember how he defended Jesus and said to the priest, you need to be careful with this man. You need to watch what you're doing. And maybe you ought to leave him alone. That's what they said. That's what he said to them. Oh, listen to me. This morning, if Gamaliel could become a Christian, if Nicodemus could become a Christian, if Joseph of Arimathea, a rich dude, could have become a follower of Christ, you can become a follower of Christ. How many of you want to be a part of the royal priesthood? How many of you want to be part of the holy nation? How many of you want to know what it really means to be a Christian? Ah, I want to tell you something this morning. After the Holy Ghost fell on me last night, and I shouted, and I squalled, and I praised Him, I felt like a king on my way to my throne. I felt like a priest on my way to the temple. I felt like a rich man on my way to the city built of gold. Hallelujah! Because I'm a child of the King. I've been washed in the blood. I'm a disciple of the Lord. I'm what He loves, and He cares about me. Hallelujah. What does it mean to be a Christian? It's the greatest thing on the face of this earth. Sorry, Mr. President, you may be a billionaire, but Mr. President, I'm a trillionaire. My father owns a city 1,500 miles square and high, and it's paved with gold from the bottom to the top. the streets of Jasper, covered in all kinds of riches. I'm a trillionaire. I just haven't inherited my inheritance yet. But you wait till you see me in my new home. You wait, Brother Danny Lawless, till you're walking down the streets of New Jerusalem and somebody says, over there is where Brother Chambers lives. And you look over there. I say, I got to go by and see him a little bit. He was my friend. We loved each other. We served the Lord together. Hallelujah. Is this too much? Oh, I thought he was looking a little down there. I was a little bit concerned. Listen, church, we are one blessed people. It's great to be a Christian. I want everybody proud to be a Christian to stand up right now. Stand up before the Lord. Stand up before the Lord. I'm going to get you now. I got to make sure you don't take this lightly. I want you to say, I'm part of the royal priesthood. I want you to say, I'm a peculiar person. I want you to say, I'm a child of God. Hallelujah. I want you to say, I'm his disciple. I want you to say, I've been born again. I want you to say, I've been washed in the blood. I want you to say, I've been reconciled to God. I've been reconciled to God. Hey, it's a joy to be a child of the King. It's a joy to be, hallelujah. Oh, I'm telling you the truth. Oh, hallelujah. Brother James, it's a blessing to be a Christian. Now we have visitors. I don't know whether I know them or not. It don't really matter. We're friends either way. But if anybody in this building who is not saved, and you leave this building unsaved, you'll go to hell on your own account, not mine. Because I preach the truth to you. I've told you what he wants to do for you. You got sin in your life. You got fornication back there you've never repented of. You've lied and cheated and stole, whatever. I don't care what it is, if it's sin. Whatever it is, it's on your record until he washes it. But I'm going to give you a chance this morning to step out of your seat and to walk down this aisle and to let Jesus wash you from your sins. You want to be washed? I'll tell you, I feel it right now. I'm washed. I said, I'm washed. I've cried out to him this morning. I've claimed the blood this morning. I don't let a day go by. I don't claim the blood. Joe Chambers is not good enough to live on his own merits. Joe Chambers is not good enough to claim on his own account. I got to have his account applied on my account every day. See, I'm not living by my bank account. I'm living by his bank account. Would you like to come to Christ? Is there somebody in this building would simply raise your hand and say, I need this, Brother Chambers. Pray for me. Would you slip your hand up? I need this. I'm not saved. Sin in my life. I'm away from God. I need this. Raise your hand. Now, I don't see any hands. I presume everybody in this building is saved. I presume everybody in this building is right with God. If you're playing games with me, you better be careful. If you're lying, you better be careful. If you're not living for Christ and you're not living a godly life, I'm calling you this morning to make a choice for Christ. Just simple. You say, Brother Chambers, it's hard to be a Christian. If anybody told you that, they lied to you. It's not hard to be a Christian. It's the easiest life you will ever live, to live for Christ. How many will raise your hand and vouch to that, will you? It's the easiest life you will ever live, to live for Christ. It's the sweetest life you will ever live. I like that song, It Gets Sweeter As the Days Go By. It gets richer as the moments fly. Hallelujah. Oh, it's wonderful. It's wonderful to be right with God. It's wonderful to love Christ. Sister Yvette, I want you to come and sing that. If you would, Sister Angel, come and play it. It gets sweeter as the days go by. It gets sweeter as the moments fly. I'm here to tell you. You got to listen to me. It will change your life. He'll make something brand new out of you. He'll make something out of you that you didn't know you could be. Oh, I can't give up that habit and you don't know. You get saved, it'll give you up. Smoking will disappear like just in the sunshine on a wet morning. I promise you, the things of this world are nothing but strangleholds. They're nothing but captive things. And when Jesus takes over, he'll set you free. Sing it for me. Bow your heads and pray. Everybody.
Oh, it gets sweeter as the days go by. It gets sweeter as the moments fly.
Oh, it gets sweet. Come to Christ. I invite you to come.
Deeper.
I invite you to come if you're not saved. If you're not right with God, I invite you to the altar.
Sweeter,
we won't do anything but help you. Pray with you and love you. There will be no ill treatment in this house. We don't allow it. Would you come? Would you come? I'm coming.
As the days
I'm coming.
Go by.
Woo! Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
It gets sweeter.
As the moments fly, a little more volume.
As the moments fly.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
Richer,
sweeter,
deeper,
fuller. I like that.
Sweeter,
sweeter. Would you come?
Sweeter,
all right.
Sweeter as the day.
Visit us. You're part of us. Everybody together. I want you to meet me in the altar, and I want you to come to claim the blood of Jesus afresh in your life. Everybody, come. Come on, visit us.
Nobody knows but my Lord and me.
I've got that
all. Time religion in my heart, way down inside.
And what a joy to know one who loves us.
Teach another, but good. Sing it, sister.
He is so kind and true.
Sing it out. I want a little more volume, brother.
He has changed my life from all sin and strife. He'll do the same for you. I've got that old-time religion in my heart, the way down inside. I've got a new kind of feeling.